Thank God for this privilege that he has given me to be here with you guys. And I always say that Catalyst is my home base when I'm in Florida, no other place, right? This name, Catalyst International, I just wanted to say, it's a big name. Not because we're big people. It's a big name. That means that this has to go beyond here. And God has been preparing. This is not part of the word at all. God has been preparing this church and has been preparing leaders of this church. And you could sense that it's time to break out of the egg. When you have a lot of leaders that are meant to do great things, you see the egg starting to break. This church is in the hatching. This church is in the hatching. Pray for that. Pray for that. The title of this message, I'm just going to start with the beginning of the title. It's called We the Fallen. And I know that that's kind of, wait, I'm not there. I'm not part of that anymore. We're going to go on a little journey today. We're going to go on a little journey today. We can all agree that 2020 has been, and let's say, a year that no one will forget. The losses have been extraordinary, but so have been the lessons. We've learned a lot this year, haven't we? But there was another catastrophic event, world event, that no one will ever forget either. And part of that event is in Genesis 3:17. Cursed is the ground because of you. God said that. You could look it up. I didn't have that put up today because I'm just using part of that text. But those were God's words. And he was talking to Adam. He was talking to both. That's kind of hard. Cursed is the ground because of you. And this God said after he told each one of the three the consequence they would carry because of their choice. You know that we carry consequences with our choices, right? We could either have the blessing or the consequence. Something happened in the fall of mankind, something terrible. I want us to go to that point. I want you to internalize something terrible happened at that point. Something that would have a ripple effect even today. It happened then, it happened there, but we are in the consequence of that ripple effect. We walked into sin, and it created a distorted and corrupted image of what we were meant to be. We were not meant to be this. Even if we've already come to Jesus, you and I were not meant to be this. We were meant to have a relationship one-on-one with God Almighty. And that image, distorted and corrupted, everything changed. Our relationship with God changed. Our relationship with each other changed. You could see it right after. The woman that you gave me, the relationship changed. Everything changed. That wasn't meant to be. They were happy before they made that choice. They were living together in this paradise. They were happy, walking with God himself. And that was meant to be. We're going to be there again. The earth changed. The earth you see, sometimes we could be at a mountaintop, and I've seen beautiful, and I'm sure that you too have seen beautiful sceneries. Yes. You said, wow, this is awesome. Yes. Some of you post, someone that I know on Facebook, she posts sunsets and sun and when it rises, and she, before she goes to work, she posts that, and it's beautiful. I look at it and I say, God, you have done such beautiful things. I can't imagine this place without sin. Wow. Without the cursed is because of you. Yeah. I can't imagine this place without it. Then Jesus came to start what I call, this is personal, what I call Project Restoration. Because we have to be restored. We have to be restored. Our relationship with the Father, our relationship with each other. And he gave us that gift of redemption and everlasting life upon the acceptance of that gift. Do you remember the day you accepted that gift?
Yes.
And yielded your life to God? Not that you came in front for prayer. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the day you actually yielded your life to Jesus. In my life, it didn't happen the same day. I came in front, and the pastors prayed for me. I didn't feel anything at that moment, but I knew I needed something. My life was not right. And I knew my life was not right. So I came to Jesus, and I need you. But one day, in the house that I was living, there was a big rock in the back. And I sat on that rock, and I looked at the ocean. And I started to cry. And there on that rock, I had a conversation with God, probably the first understandable conversation with God. And I cried. But still, I had another experience to go through with him. But that was a start. I was yielding. I'm still yielding.
Yes,
I'm sure that you're still yielding.
Yes.
If you're not in the process of yielding, we need to pray.
Right.
Either that or you're already in heaven. Isaiah 6:5 says, "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Almighty." Have you been there? That's what I'm talking about. He understood who he was and in front of who he was. He knew he was a sinner. And he lived in a land of sinners. That were away from God, that were not doing God's plan, mm-hmm. that were not living what we were created for. The weight of God's glory was upon Isaiah. Have you had the weight of glory upon you? That it takes you to the ground, to your knees? And not because God is saying, "I am almighty, praise me." He does not do that. He wants you to praise him because you love him. Because you understand who he is. That's what he wants. That's what God wants from us all. We're all dealing with this fallen nature. But we're in the Project Restoration. Thank you, Jesus. Do you remember when God's weight of glory was upon you for the first time? I need for you to go there for a second. When you cried that cleansing cry, when you were on your knees in his presence saying, "God, forgive me. I need your son. I am a sinner. Rescue me. Help." I've had that moment. I've had that moment. And it wasn't just one time. Because we're still in this fallen world. Even if we're in the restoration project, even if we're on the path, we're still dealing with things, aren't we? But we've made the decision of Jesus. We know that we need him. And he is the only one that's going to take me to the place to fulfill what I was created to fulfill. If you haven't had that moment with Jesus, doesn't mean you're not saved. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you believe that he died for you on the cross, if you have voiced that you are a sinner, forgive me, Lord, that's what you have to feel first, right? You could have said it in your own words. You could have said it in your bedroom.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter where you said it. It's that you felt it, that you received it, that you opened the door to your heart to God.
Amen.
And he's going to start doing whatever he has to do in your life and in my life.
Amen.
Glory. When you were on your knees in his presence, you knew by the power of his word, his presence, your conviction, that you needed him. Now you could finish the sentence. We the fallen have accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ our Lord as payment for our sins and today live under grace. Enemy doesn't want you to live under grace. Enemy doesn't want you to live under grace. Didn't he do that with Job? Yeah, of course he loves you. Look at everything you've done for him. Take it away and see if he still loves you. Take it away to see if he'll still praise you. Sometimes we've been through really hard times.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes we have cried. Not the cleansing cry. Cried because we can't take another step. We can't do one more thing. And we have to stop and say, Lord, I need you. I don't have any more words, but I need you.
Yeah.
I need you, God. As the song says, God only knows what you've been through. God only knows how to break through. God only knows where to find you. He knows where to find you. He comes after you. Glory, glory. Romans 3:22 says, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. That's really important. That's important because sometimes we forget where we were. Sometimes we forget who we were. Sometimes we forget what we've done. Sometimes we forget what we've said. And we think that everybody who's going to walk through the door of the church is going to be like we are now. I've got news for you. We're still in the fallen world. And we still have to look up and say, Lord, I need you. I need you. We forget that those whom have not come to Jesus are still there. Where we were, not knowing or understanding grace, still bound by the fallen state. You and I may have come to Jesus, and that grip that the enemy had is not there.
Yeah.
But he still, you know what? Did he say that? Did she do that?
Yeah.
Isn't that what he did? He's still doing it. Nothing changed. He's still doing it. What changed was God gave you the opportunity to change that in you. To stop listening to the one who wants to see you defeated and listen to the one who wants to see you with him on high. That's where he wants you to listen to. The corrupted and distorted image of what we were meant to be is still out there. Haven't we seen how humanity has just corrupted its image? Haven't we seen that? We call out sin, sin, sin. Sin is everything that is away from God. That's what sin is. So any image that we have, any distorted image of we have, if it's not here, it's a distorted image. God tells us who he wants us to be here. He tells us how we're supposed to live here. Anything outside of this is a distorted and corrupted image. It's not the person's fault. We were there. But now we're learning. Now we're in discipleship. Now we're growing little by little, right? Step by step. I remember when I was a kid, there was step by step, inch by inch. I don't remember who was that, but that just came up to my mind. I must be really old. Some program on TV or something like that. Step by step, inch by inch, we get closer to the Lord. We're not there yet. We still have battles here on earth. But we know who to go to. We know through the word that, oh, I did this. This is, God really, help me with this, God. Help me with this. I'm having trouble with this. I need your help. And he'll help you. But whoever's in that fallen state does not understand that, does not know that they could come to God, that veil was broken for a reason. We have Jesus now. We have the restorer. We have the one who was given the restoration project in his hands. And now he's sitting at the right hand of our Father. They are mine. They are mine. I don't want to lose any of them. Doesn't matter what our eyes see. Out in the world, we're going to see things that are distorted and corrupted. We can't treat it badly. We can't, oh, that person this and that person that. We can't do that because they're in the fallen state. That's what the Pharisees used to do. Not us. We're in grace. We're in grace. Because of his great love, Ephesians 2, 4, 5 says, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. For it's by grace you have been saved. Dead in transgressions. You know we were dead? Dead in sin, spiritually dead, which means far away from God, unresponsive to him. You couldn't call Jimmy with the defibrillator to... Couldn't do that. It's not going to work. We come to Jesus. We don't go to Jimmy. We come to Jesus. He's the only one who could get that. That hurt, that stoned in heart. He's the only one who could call out to the Holy Spirit to run through our veins, to bring us up, so we could rise up to who we were supposed to be, who we created to be. And each one of us has a different gift, talent.
That's right. Yeah.
But we all have the same goal. We may look different.
Yeah.
We may speak differently. But it's Jesus. It's heaven. That's our goal. The first response team here on earth is not going to help us. Only Jesus can. That was you and me, friend. That was you and me. Matthew 19, 25 to 26 says, when the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, who then can be saved? Who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. There's nothing you can do. You can't be a great person and just expect to go to heaven. It doesn't work that way. But with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. So when you see that person that you think is living a certain lifestyle that you know is not according to the word, all things are possible. When you see that person who one time after another keeps falling in the same thing, all things are possible. When you see that person who has hurt you, I want to tell you, has violated you, abused you, betrayed you, slandered you, all things are possible. Amen. Let me tell you, it is not easy to say that. But the same way that God has forgiven us, we have to forgive others. Because we still live in a fallen world. And not everyone has come to Jesus. And even if they have, the word says, nueva criatura. New creature. Jesus meets us where we are. He came to find the dead, the lost. He came to save humanity. My daughter shared with me, I had seen it, but I really didn't open it. But when I opened it, I just started to cry. It's kind of like a little short. I don't know if you remember the movie Freedom Riders, which is really based on a group of students that were lost and forgotten in California. And here came this teacher with her little pearls in a highly, highly violent school. And she saw them not for who they were at that moment, but who they could be. Extraordinary teacher. See, not who they were, not who the school system said they were, not who society said they were. She saw them how God sees us. Not who we are now, but who He wants us to be, who we can be, what we can accomplish, where we can go. Sometimes we think very little of ourselves. And it's not that you should think a lot of yourself, but God could take you to many places, Amen. To do many things, yes. To speak to many people. Amen. You have a story. Yes. You have a story to tell. Did you know that?
Yes.
It's even so far. Grace goes both ways. Grace goes both ways. Not only with us, God has given us grace, but we have to also give grace. We have to also forgive. And I wanted to share this. I didn't write it. I don't know if I wrote it down or not. It should be, I don't know if it's there or not, the next scripture I didn't write. It says, and said to Jesus, teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say? They were using this question as a trap. You know, the enemy's always trying to trap us. He thought he could trap Jesus. They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. I heard a sermon one day, and to me it was astonishing. I never thought of it that way. It was just, what if Jesus kneeled down and was writing on the ground? Maybe he was writing out their sins or their names. And I said, what was he writing on the ground? The board doesn't say it, so we can't say it was that. But they sure backed off. So he was writing something important to them. Because maybe he was writing their sins. But you know, we don't have to bring out our sins. Did you know that? We say, forgive me, God. Forgive me for this. Forgive me for that. You don't have to. Nobody. The enemy is the one who accuses you of what you do, not God. The enemy is the one who said, remember when you used to do this? Remember when you used to do that? Remember when you did that? That's the enemy. That's not God. And Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, let anyone of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. I was thinking, God, when I was told about this, I was thinking Christmas. But that wasn't what God wanted for today. Catalyst International Church. International. Goes beyond these walls, goes beyond this city, goes beyond this state.
Yes.
Maybe goes beyond the continent of the United States.
Yes.
And in all that distance, there's a lot of people, different people. And if we don't get this, we won't be able to, like Habes said, I want you to give me more. But he finished the sentence, but I don't want to get damaged in all of this. I want to do what's right. I want to do what's right. I want you to give me more, but I want to do what's right. Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. That's why me probably was writing down the sins there. But only each of them knew what it was, and they weren't going to come out and say, hey, that's, how did you know that? How did, they weren't going to say anything. And this is just me. This is, the Bible does not say that at all. Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. Catalyst International Church. You're hatching. You're hatching. You got to remember that. Got to remember that. There are a lot of people, and God is going to fill this place up with a lot of different people, with a lot of different backgrounds. It will seem different from the outside of what you're accustomed to. But he has a plan for each and every one of the people who come through that door. Actually, through the new door. Don't look at them from the outside. Let the Lord do the work. Let them tell their story. Let God do what he has to do in each of them. Wow. Wow. The ministries for marriage, for youth, for children, for seniors, is nothing like you have seen yet. For people who have had dysfunctional lives. We all have, and this distorted and corrupted it, but you understand what I mean. It's going to be extraordinary. He's going to bring in more youth. Bring in more children. And each and every one of them has a purpose because they have a story. And they will be used mightily in God's hands.
Thank you, Father.
Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And at this, those who heard began to go away, one at a time. The older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman, still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir." "Neither do I." "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now," listen, "go now and leave your life of sin." He did a mighty work there. Those men were there with stones in their hands to kill her. And she believed. Let's not forget where the fallen are, because we were there first. Let us teach what grace is. Let us share our story of redemption. Let us tell them you have a story too. Discipleship will follow. Jesus didn't point out sin when he called the disciples. He did so while he taught them. He told them first who they could be, fishermen of men. Yes, yes. And each of them he told something different. Yes. He didn't say, "You're this, you're this, or you're this and that. Oh, you got to stop that. Oh, I can't use you until you stop doing that. Peter, could you please? Could you please stop, not be so..." I love Peter. I'm dying to meet him. I'm dying to meet him. Where are you? Call out to God. He'll meet you wherever you are. Even you who are out there. Call out to God. He'll meet you where you are. He has a purpose for your life. You have a story to tell. And I'd like to leave you with this. The promise of God's grace and saving love in Romans 10, 8 through 11. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, "Jesus is Lord," and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and you are saved. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. There may be many out there that have been shamed. God has a purpose for you. And yes, he does have discipleship. Because it's not our way, it's God's way. It's God's way. It's not the pastor's way. It's God's way. It's not your friend's way. It's not your circle of friends' way. It's God's way. But everything is in his time. You have a story to tell. God wants you. God calls out to you. God is saying, "I love you. And I see what you can be." God, I call out to you at this moment. And I ask you to touch everyone, not only those who are here, but those who are seeing through the net. I ask you, Lord, to touch them. They may have gone through many different circumstances and have met many people who have shamed them for whatever lifestyle they have had. But I ask you, just like you did with me on the rock, you called out to me and I knew it was you. I had that cleansing cry. I came to you. I did not want to live my life my way but yours. And you have helped me. And here I am today. Someone who has been hurt, abused, violated, and so many other things. You've done a work in me, are doing a work in me, and will continue to do a work in me. The same I ask for everyone who is watching, that they may say their story, that they may bring the gifts that you have given them to for your glory. In the name of Jesus, that they may feel the warmth of your arms at this moment, that they may cry in those arms, that they may know that they are not alone and you will not shame them. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Diana. This is a choice vessel. This precious woman is a beautiful testament to how God can take brokenness and make beauty. Beauty for ashes. Oil of joy instead of the spirit of heaviness. God can take your mess and turn your life into a message. Hallelujah. God wants to write his story in your life. It's a beautiful story. It's a story of redemption. It's a story of broken things being mended. It's a story of restoration, as Reverend Diana said. And he's not done yet. His grace is still available today. Somebody say amen. Would you stand with me right now? I wonder if you felt like she was speaking to you. Would you bow your head for a moment? I wonder if you felt that Diana was speaking to you in this message. And you said, you know what? I need more of God's grace in my life. I need to admit how much I need God. I need to also forgive those who have hurt me and not be stuck in the past. I need to believe by faith this morning that God is still got a great future for me. God has a good plan for my life. If that's you this morning, while nobody looking around, would you just slip up a hand right now? I identify what you're saying, Pastor, and what Diana said. Yes. Yes. Anybody else? Many of you. Yes. God has a good plan. I need more grace in my life. I also need to forgive and trust that God will deal with those who have hurt me. God will take care of that. But don't let what they did in the past continually defeat you and cause your present to be miserable. Don't let their past and your past with that person cause your present to be miserable. That's what God wants to set you free from. Somebody say amen. If any man or woman be in Christ Jesus, they are a new creation, brand new. Brand new. God can make your life brand new and can give you a brand new experience today, a new beginning. I want to pray for those of you who would just be brave enough to put up a hand and nobody is looking right now. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm just going to ask this between you and God. Lord, I want to have a new beginning. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want his story to be written in my life, and I want to trust him more. Would you put up a hand right now, wherever you are? Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Father, we pray this prayer right now from our hearts. I'm going to ask everyone to pray it. Those of you who raised their hands and everybody else, just say this prayer out loud. Lord Jesus, I believe that you love me. I believe you're the one I've been looking for. And today, even though everything is not perfect in my life, I believe you want to do a good work in me. I believe you love me enough to change me, even in spite of my flaws. I accept your forgiveness now. I believe your precious blood was shed for my sins. I confess with my mouth that you are the Son of God. Your blood is the remedy for my problems. I put my trust in you from this day forward. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord a hand of praise right now. Hallelujah. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of This is what we need to do. Oh, come, let us adore. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Put your hand on your heart. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. Christ the Lord. If you're at home watching and you have prayed with us this morning, you've listened to Reverend Diana's message, you say, you know what, I really related to that message. I need more of Christ in my life. I need someone to pray with. I want you to send us a Facebook message or call the church. You can call and you can be sure that one of the pastors will get back to you. 407-438-6100. You might have just stopped by this morning. Maybe a friend asked you to visit. And you say, wow, God is speaking to my heart. Something's going on spiritually right now. Don't let this moment pass by. Don't let just say, wow, that was a good feeling, and then don't do anything about it. Respond. Respond to God. Do something to show your faith in Christ. Give us a call, 407-438-6100, or you can send us a Facebook message. I also want to remind you, Wednesday night, we'll not have our in-person service, but we'll all be praying together on the phone. I am excited about this because this is an opportunity for us all to reconnect. We have been coming back, and thank God for the good attendance today. I thank God for it. But you know what? We're going to hear from people we haven't seen in a while on Wednesday night. We're going to hear on the phone their voice, and we're going to pray together. So I want you to please tune into that. Take advantage of that. God be with you. Pastor Andrew, come on up and give a benediction if you would. God richly bless you. And many of you appreciate Reverend Diana Bellaw this morning. Woohoo!
Hallelujah. Lord, we've been enriched by your word today, Lord. So we thank you, Lord. We believe that the Holy Spirit will continue to speak to us from the word that has been given today. Lord, when we go out these doors, it's not over. When we turn off the Facebook, it's not over. The Holy Spirit is moving. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. And maybe you've hit a wall with forgiveness. And, you know, it doesn't mean you justify what the person did for you to you. But what you're doing is saying, Lord, I don't want to bear this unforgiveness. I don't want to bear bitterness. I don't want to bear anger. Lord, I want to be your child. I want to be free. You deal with that person. You're still able to change them. But I want to be free. I want to start a new life in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for the rich blessing and grace in our lives. We thank you for salvation. And Lord, now as we go out into the mission field, we're entering the mission field, we pray that you would use us to touch for your honor and glory, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. See you on the